Hey, it's Citizen Cosmos. We're Sergeant Anna, and we discover Cosmos by chatting with awesome people from various projects and communities. Join us if you're curious how dreams and ambitions become code.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Citizen Cosmos, and we are glad to have Antoine with us today. He is the CEO and the co-founder of Starname, or more commonly known as IOV. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Welcome to the show, Antoine.
Thank you. Thank you so much to invite me today.
I think we met before. You mentioned during our conversation that we actually, small world.
Yeah, we met at the Epicenter community call. It was quite funny, actually.
It was a lot of podcast hosts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everyone has a podcast.
Yeah, half exactly. Of the people over there was a host of their own podcast.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you host your own podcast, by the way, or did you have one?
I should, probably. I think it's a new trend, right?
Definitely. A small world. Anyways, shall we dive right into the questions? The first question I have, which is like obvious, what's the correct name? Starname or IOV?
The company is called IOV, and now we are Starname, just because it's a product. And, you know, we want everyone to know more about Starname, and we believe that's going to be something big. So we are now Starname.
Yeah, cool. So we almost got it right. So let's talk a little bit about Starname. Of course, the first question, well, two questions together, but I'll just let you talk about it. Obviously, what do you guys do in your own words and your migration to Cosmos?
The migration about Cosmos started this year in February. Before, we were using Weave SDK, which looks like a Cosmos SDK. It has been built by Ethan Frye, who used to work with us. And we wanted to just migrate because it makes sense from an application perspective. We wanted to focus on the name service itself and not that much about, you know, maintaining our own SDK. So we decided to migrate. And it took us a lot of time because it was not that easy at all to change everything. And finally, we made it in August. So it took us a lot of time. We are super happy to be now on Cosmos SDK. We are using the proof of stake. So it means that you know, any validator can join the network.
I do have some questions for you about that. But about the first part of the question is like, tell a little bit to the listeners about, and to us, of course, as well, in your own words, what does actually Starname do? Because I have my perspective, but I would love to hear your perspective on that as well.
Sure. So Starname is a decentralized username. What it means is like you can register, purchase a Starname, and with that you can receive crypto payments, any kind of crypto payments. So it could be atoms, Bitcoin, Ether. You know, it's super simple. You also have, you're going to have very soon a crypto profile online, where actually you have all the information publicly available, so your Starname, all your addresses, and some also interesting information. If you're a business, you'll be able to add, for instance, some certification like KYB, for instance, so to make sure that you are the real person or the real business. So we see Starname as a gateway for decentralized identity, and we'll embed as many as features along the way. So we start with crypto payments, but our vision is really to make it more simple for everyone to have a decentralized identity.
Could you say that it's kind of like universal in terms of blockchain registry to make payments and identity easier? Is that correct or no?
Yeah, totally, yeah.
And it's blockchain agnostic, right, as far as I understand?
Totally, yeah. So I've been involved with specification, how to name assets, and that's interesting area. And so, yeah, it's totally agnostic. It means that you can receive any kind of crypto payments, not only atoms, but any kind. And the way we do that is like we specified how you could name properly an asset. And from that, it means that any asset can be received on the Starname network, Starname blockchain.
I guess that kind of makes you a DeFi project, right? And as far as we noticed, lately, France has produced a lot of good DeFi projects into the space. Would you agree with that? Is that something you noticed as well?
I didn't notice that in France. We have a lot of DeFi projects. Good to hear that.
Oh.
But I think that regarding DeFi, we want to achieve some different things. One is being able to bring more people into the space. It's really difficult for someone to manage like long list of crypto addresses. So by providing Starname, we want to simplify new people coming into the space. So that's one. And second, also, by providing star names, we enable some kind of very simple, like atomic swap trades, for instance, because then you don't really need to ask all the time, what's your Bitcoin, ETH, blah, blah, blah. Let's say you want to do an atomic swap between ETH and Bitcoin. You would need to ask all these addresses, and with star name, you just ask the star name and you do your trading. So in some cases as well, it's really useful.
Can I jump in? Because I'm really interested in that case. So actually, I have two questions in that field. The first one is, you know, that now we have a lot of custodian services in blockchain space. I mean, the centralized exchange, some other kind of services, some ICO or projects requires KYC. So do you think that some connections can be arised in between the crypto name and the personality at one point?
Totally. And we're going to announce some partnerships with like other companies working on this space. And the goal is to be able to, for instance, log in to an exchange with a star name at some point, not tomorrow, but midterm. And so you will not need to do, again, your KYC, for instance. You will just need to provide your star name and, you know, the exchange will be able to check all the information, most of them off-chain, by the way. And so you will not need to all the time redo the same procedure, for instance.
Oh, quite cool, actually, because sometimes it's really annoying if someone just want to verify that.
Yeah, it's really concrete. Huh? We are working with a partner, actually really working on these topics. And we believe that the star name plus this partner together plus other partners will be really interesting as a solution for simplifying the login into this exchange place, for instance.
Oh, cool. And one more question now, especially for some big hacks of exchange, you know, that some of the coins now are marked as coins that owned by hackers because they come from that exchange. Do you think that your project can help to figure out how to avoid this problem? Because if someone send you that mark coin and it will relate it to their real name, it can be uncomfortable for someone. So what do you think about it? I know that probably you're thinking about it.
Yeah. So first of all, the question regarding privacy is really important. And the way we want to solve this problem of privacy, because for sure you want to disclose some public information, but you don't necessarily want that people knows all your balance on all the coins, for instance. So the way to fix this issue is actually to have a star name which could be resolved off-chain. I mean, the data could be sent off-chain. So I know your star name, but I don't necessarily, you don't disclose publicly all your address. You will disclose it to me off-chain. And so this way, you know, when I transfer an asset, you will not know unless you are part of this transfer if this coin has been marked. After that, in general, what is interesting for us is the idea of, for security tokens, for instance, you have a lot of condition that needs to be marked in order for someone to send the security token. So it comes back to the idea of certificate, certification. And we want to provide, as a decentralized identity, this information so you have conditional transfer based on some attributes on the star name.
Basically, will star name have more than one token, I presume, right? There will be some security tokens and there will be some non-security tokens. Is that correct?
Star name itself is just like a data layer regarding your identity itself. But we don't, I mean, your tokens are not on the Starname network. It's just like your Bitcoin are on the Bitcoin network and everything. So we don't really touch that at any point. What we just do is we provide this identity layer where actually we can know, I mean, the dApps can check some status on Starname, and based on the status, it will do the transfer, yes or no. So it's more about the dApp developers that can leverage the data layer on Starname to do some interesting things.
Would that be correct to say that you have users who are picking the star names and you have customers in the eyes of dApp developers who are after the data?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, I get it. So one more question about DeFi. I mean, I know it's a big, interesting hype. So there's a lot of talk about NFT and DeFi And what's your thoughts on that? Because obviously that's to do with what you guys, as far as I understand, do. I'd love to hear your opinion on that.
So first of all, StarName is an NFT in a way that you can register it, you can transfer it. So it's really an NFT, and we are part of the NFT group on Cosmos to, you know, trying to make a good specification about NFT. There's a lot of interesting conversation on this topic, and we're happy to be part of the group. After that, regarding DeFi, I didn't follow the last event regarding NFT. I know that there's been some NFT token issued, but I'm not that sure there's a connection with StarName itself. So, and I don't really know. So I would be happy to know actually more about it.
I see. Okay, let's get back to the migration a little, because we think it would be priceless if you could share like your experience to teams that want to migrate to Cosmos SDK in terms of somebody who did it already. What are the pitfalls to avoid? Are there any hashes that needed to be calculated manually? No, I'm joking, of course, but yeah. Like, what would you say, like your advice for some teams that want to do that and they haven't done it already?
It's a good question. So I think one is being transparent with everyone, which means that being able to export the state properly of your old chain and being able to provide ahead of time the new Genesis file so everyone could check that everything is like correct. There is no hidden information. So like, I think that's very important. First, I would recommend to do it, because if you really want to focus on like an application layer, I think that's the right thing to do to really leverage the power of the Cosmos SDK. So I would highly recommend it. And maybe three, it depends where you're coming from. On our side, we already have very good validators with us. So I think one thing also very important is to really explain to them that, you know, you're going to migrate everything ahead, you know, to plan well the timeline, because you cannot just say, okay, I'm migrating tomorrow. So you really need to plan things so they are aware. And then after, it's more about rewriting code. So you have some business logic needs to be totally rewritten. And in our case, we also contribute to the Cosmos SDK. We publish a crowd module, which is just indexing a module to have secondary index. So we're trying to also give some to the community. And after, you know, you're stressed for 6 months, and when it after the migration, you are excited and happy.
<That's it. laughs> I like the last part, and then you have a profit. So one kind of like devil's advocate question, I guess it's not really, but it can be thought of it. Has the migration solved the reason why you decided to migrate?
Oh, for sure. It's like in our case, we're working with a lot of wallets partner. First of all, before deciding to migrate with SDK has been really important, I believe, for Cosmos as well, because we did a lot of good stuff like Protobuf, for instance. With SDK was in Protobuf. Now, you know, Cosmos SDK is moving to Protobuf. With SDK used to have a good ORM system, for instance, that some of the piece we put into the module, the way we handle error, it was really beautiful, for instance. So we did a lot of good stuff. So we're happy with like the technology. But the reason why we migrate is also because all our partners know well Cosmos SDK. So when you want to focus on the business logic and all the technical detail for your partners, they know everything about Cosmos SDK, then the benefits to migrate is obvious. Is like, you know, they will integrate you much easier because they already did before. That's one of the big benefits. The other one is also, obviously, Cosmos SDK is doing all the upgrade around Tendermint, and we didn't have to maintain that. Before, we needed to even like maintain our SDK, upgrade to the new Tendermint version, and you know, it was like it was a lot of work that now we cannot do, so just more relaxed, I would say.
You mentioned validators, and I know personally from the experience that I do with Cyber, of course, that it's a hell of a difficult job for smaller projects to attract validators within the larger Cosmos ecosystem, because of course, either you need to incentivize them somehow, and not everybody wants to come in and do testnets. And of course, you're a bit different, but still, how's your experience been with it as one of the smaller projects? And what would you suggest for other small projects that come into this space? What things they should do in terms of attract validators?
In our case, we started very early. So for some people in the project, they think, yeah, it takes some time to go there and say, yeah, but I mean, it's a process. So when we started, there was not that many projects. So it was maybe some kind of good for us because it was not that difficult to, you know, pitch validator and talk about the project. Also, I think that when we started, we wanted more than the number to have a good validator set, not too big, because we knew that at the beginning, you will not necessarily generate a huge turnover in terms of economic reward. So we are thinking like, okay, we can always increase later, but better to start with a small number, good people, and we'll increase, and we guarantee them that when we will increase, they will not get less, because the reward will grow, and so we increase this validator set, but their reward will not decrease. We had this approach, and being honest, you know, I think it's very important, and we are lucky to find a really good validator. And I think also maybe a key is to have good communication with all of them and, you know, being honest where you are, what you are doing, and what you're trying to achieve. And don't be afraid to start with a small number and increase later. That trying to get, 100 for day one doesn't make any sense.
I like that last thought, because when we did it at Cyber, we kind of started straight away, okay, we'll have like 178 by tomorrow, you know. We started like with big numbers, and that was a big disappointment internally that kind of like puts you down. And then you think, okay, well, if you, like you said, you start gradually and you build it up,
yeah,
then you will not get that internal disappointment and you will realize that you can do your work, as you said, properly. Cool. Anna, before we move on to the next questions, do you have any more questions in regards to the validators or the migration or anything like that?
I have a question, but not about validator. I have a question about CoinGecko. I see that you use that platform.
Yeah.
And have you received much value from it?
When you are listed, to be visible in ways that all these CoinMarketCap, CoinGecko reference you as a registry, you know. In itself, I think it's good because it's just a way for people. Most of them go on these like websites to check coins and everything. Consequence of that is like you have a lot of people want to reach out to you because probably they check all the time the registry of CoinGecko. And so you have a lot of people on the Telegram coming and say, hey, I'm doing this. Do you want that? And it's difficult, to be honest, to know if it's a good opportunity or not because you have so many. So that's the side effect of being on this platform. I think it's a natural step to be on this platform. I don't have any preference between CoinGecko, CoinMarketCap, or others. I do think some of our partners use CoinGecko API to get the price feed from their platform.
So it's more looks like it's a marketing channel, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's it gives some visibility and also ranking. We like competition, you know, so happy to be in the ranking. We love competition.
Yeah, tell us about competition, because blockchain is quite competitive industry.
Yeah, it's very competitive. I think we love competition in general. It's funny because one of my competitors called me one day. It was a funny call. And he say, yeah, you will see, you have no chance. And you say, you know, I don't think so. And, you know, I love competition and let's go back in 1 year and we'll see, you know. So, yeah, I think that you have a lot of competition in the space, which is good, I think. It brings a lot of innovation. We are here to make the world a better place at the end. And that's really the only goal matter for us. And so, you know, we're happy to compete in order to make the world a better place. And if it's like the goal, end goal, you know, that's, you know, and no matter, and in any sports, no matter what you win or lose, you do it for like the journey you're doing for like your cause, like, you know, what you want to bring as a like values and change in your way, what could be a better future. We like competition. We are obviously very curious about decentralized identity space in general. And yeah, we are here to win.
Yeah, but what is your goal then?
To be number one in our space, to be number one.
Okay, but number one in blockchain space and...
No, in the name service space, to be number one.
Would you say that the blockchain field of name services, that it's more compatible than other like spaces, or like let's say, let's take the protocol space within the blockchain, right? Which is probably, in my opinion, you have the most competition, right? There are so many,
yeah.
Everybody's trying to kill Ether or doing whatever. And then what about the namespace? Is that as compatible?
We love our space because we see so many things that we want to do better than everyone that we are happy to. I would say it's not the most competitive one. I mean, we have competitors, they don't do that much since 2 years. We see that and say, come on, I mean, this is what you want to do. Like, it's been 2 years you're here and this is what you did. We want to push the limit and, you know, push and do good, ship good product and bring some innovation. So usually I say that our market is not like the 30 million people using Bitcoin. It's really like the 4 billion people using internet. So we see the space as something that is going to grow so much and needs names there to grow so much. So we want to really provide this infrastructure so we can bring so much many people into this space.
It makes a lot of sense. You mentioned that internet community and blockchain space is a good thing about it, is no border nature. Yeah, but the people behind projects are real and their way of thinking and connecting with the community. So could you tell us a little bit about French blockchain ecosystem community and how do you feel about the progressive ideas around you?
Yeah, I think there is like a few big projects in France that I really like. Oh. Companies. One of them is Ledger, doing the hardware wallet. We use it all the time. That's a good one. And they are really cool and nice people. I really like them. A couple of others. One that I really like is Aleph. We're going to do something together. They are doing off-chain data. I really like what they do and the way they do it. And plus, I usually work with like a lot of, not only just the business, but the, you know, I connect with the people behind the company, you know, and when you have a good fit, that's, it's nice. You build like long-term relationships. So, and this one, the other one, they are French, but I think they are maybe in Switzerland for the non-profit is Request Network. They provide request payment with MakerDAO and this kind of stuff. So we are partners as well, and plus others. So we are a small group, I think, in French ecosystem that we work all together.
I actually follow Aleph quite a bit. I think it's a very interesting project, in my opinion, yeah. I hold some tokens, like, let's be clear, right? So, but just to be clear, like, it's not an advice, so.
Just watch out some news that we will share with Aleph hopefully soon.
Cool, looking forward to it.
But yeah, I really am a big fan also as well of the project. Cool project, yeah.
Have you ever heard, just like an off-top question while you were talking about star names and competition that kind of popped into my head, have you ever heard of a project called Orbit? It's not exactly what you guys do, but they...
Yeah.
You have heard of Orbit, yeah. It's interesting in terms of like star names and identities, like I can...
I'm not sure. I would love to learn more or to check it out. Not sure.
They're not your competitor at all. Do you have similarities in terms of like the star names and it? So check it out.
Yeah, I will check it out, definitely.
I don't know how close you follow Citizen Cosmos. We hope you do. But when we talk to guests, we also like to dig in into the person themselves and not just the project. And obviously, you're not just the CEO, you're also the co-founder, or shall I say vice versa, you're not just the co-founder, you're also the CEO, which means you have to, during your working time, manage teams, you have to manage the idea, you have to manage the code, you have to manage the users, you have to manage the customers. How do you handle all that? How do you do that? Do you have any advice for other people that want to do that?
Yeah, sure. I think that first, you need to be passionate about, you know, what you want to achieve. Otherwise, you know, you cannot do it. And I think that on my side, I've been very curious about the blockchain space. But before, I was working in the software industry before. So I think I had a lot of experience of like startups and good one. Sometimes I fail miserably, you know, but at least you understand like the logic of the reason why also, why sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. So I think it's important to have this kind of experience before going into this journey. And I think that my way of, you know, managing this star name is really to be focused about the product. I don't want to be obsessed about like the price of the token. I think at the end, it's just the outcome of a good product. And we are really focused on that. And then a good balance between a beautiful, brilliant engineer and a good balance about like design, creativity, and also maybe a good balance between like good vibe, like happiness, you know, trying to make a team as something which is like really... You're happy about your team. You look at your team as something the best you did, you know. And when you have all these ingredients, I think that then you can really build something strong. it took some time for us to find this balance. But today, we are excited about it. I mean, we find, I think, a good balance.
How did you manage to find this balance? I mean, it's like a long-term issue, probably lifetime term.
Yeah, so I think that you need to trust your instincts a lot. It sounds stupid, but for me, it took so many time and years to really understand what it means. Like, really trust your little voice inside your head. I think that's key because a friend of mine told me that usually when you have instincts, your brain is give you the results of your past experience without any data. Just give you this immediate results without take the data and understand all the parameters of the equation. It just gives you like instantly. I think that's super true. And so first, if you want to just go a little bit fast, just trust your instincts. You will necessarily create, I think, a team which match a little bit, you know, your core values. And I think that's key. But it's not easy. I mean, you always like have like, it's never perfect. You always like to move and fix things.
Yeah, it's a difficult balance for sure.
Yeah, very difficult.
We saw on your LinkedIn a project called Circle CO, and it looks like you have worked with a big range of projects anyways, which is education and function transformation and so on and so on. But as far as we understood, Circle doesn't use blockchain, right? Is there any reason why not? Because obviously you're now in the blockchain space.
No, I mean, before doing the blockchain, we were having a traditional like web agency business with my co-founder, Karim Ghanem. And we were in New York and having a lot of fun doing some cool stuff on the traditional software. And Circle is the name of this company.
Hmm. And it's a lot about your entrepreneurship experience and all that. Could you say how you think that process? Because if you have that little voice in your head, probably it's not just one day or you was born with it voice. Yeah, you just do a lot of things to get that feeling. Yeah. So how your previous experience with other companies helped you in that field?
In Starname, at the beginning, we are lucky to speak with some kind of a coach or, you know, some time to time a little bit. And this guy particularly teach me a lot about this like inner voice, like, you know, and I read actually a lot of books about it. It was really interesting. One really good is The Unfettered Soul. It's a really amazing book because it's speaking about that. But I think that we went into this process because it was not that easy. The very beginning of IOV, it's very fast, everything goes fast, and you need to manage different things. It was kind of difficult. And so when you face some difficulty, and this is where actually you're going to ask yourself, you know, questions. And then you start to go deep around this topic. And I think it's quite recent, this understanding about who we are, I would say. I mean, very fundamental questions that can relate to any phase or degree of your life, whatever it's your business, your personal life. So it's super intense, the blockchain space. You know, it's like it's a roller coaster, and you need to be prepared for that. It's really a roller coaster.
In terms of being prepared for a roller coaster, you mentioned you ask coach help or do you have some mentor? Could you tell us a little bit? Because I know that I'm personally very interested in how that helpful. I mean, sometimes, okay, you can see, okay, it's a very experienced entrepreneurship team or whatever. This person looks like knows a lot about business. But blockchain space is quite new. And how you can transfer that experience to your space?
When you start this roller coaster, you need to be able to handle it. And at the beginning, maybe you cannot handle it properly, so you ask yourself a lot of questions. You come into this space with some skills, which means that you think that you can manage, control everything. Everything is under control. But at some point, it's not possible. There are things that are not under your control. Like, you can just react to what happened, but what happened, you have no control. So first, you start to be more, have more humility, and then take everything as something which comes and goes. So there is nothing only the blockchain stay immutable, but the life is the totally opposite of that, and everything is moving. And so being open to this change, permanent change, I would say.
Do you thinking about being the mentor for some projects?
I'm happy to always give feedback if I can be helpful, you know, yeah, of course.
I'm going to take a topic a little bit in another direction, but are there any announcements in terms of star name, taking into consideration that obviously the podcast takes time to be edited and to release, but still, is there something we didn't ask you that you wanted to announce in terms of like star name or IOV? Or, well, you did say that there's going to be some units with Aleph, but anything else maybe?
Yes, with Aleph, we're going to announce something to, you know, we believe it's the right connection between off-chain and on-chain. Starname being on-chain and Aleph being more off-chain, and unlock a lot of possibilities. That's one big announcement. We are always, you know, working with wallet partners, so we're going to also share some announcement around this topic. And we are working on the crypto profile, public crypto profile that should be released in a couple of weeks from now. That's another big milestone for us because it's becoming concrete for the user what Starname is. Not only just something that you can use with your mobile wallet.
We'll be looking forward to the announcements, and I'm sure that everybody who listens will be following, and we will definitely share all the links that required. But before we let you go, we do have one traditional question that we ask our guests.
Yeah.
Could you name three blockchain projects outside of the Cosmos ecosystem that you're most excited about?
I'm very curious about Avalanche. I'm very curious about this project to see how it will go. I think that it could have a huge potential, so that's one. Polkadot, obviously, is big. I'm very curious about it. I think Cosmos has the right approach. So I'm a Cosmos fan and true believer in the vision. I could compare Cosmos as being capitalist versus Polkadot versus communist in some way if we are, you are really extreme. But so I'm very curious to see Polkadot working fully. And the third one, I'm going to give a big name, but I'm also very curious about ETH 2.0. I don't know. I was talking with JK from Steakfish recently, and he's working a lot on ETH 2.0. And so I ask a lot of questions about it. Very curious to see this happening. And Aleph is not really a blockchain, so I would not put in the blockchain category.
Cool. Thanks for that. And thanks a lot for the insights you shared about how to guys about migration and about the mentoring and about the blockchain entrepreneurship. Sorry.
Yeah.
I think that's useful to everyone. And looking forward to how you guys develop and maybe have another podcast in the future.
Yeah. Would love to. And thank you so much for the invitation. It was really a pleasure. Looking forward to continue to the conversation and to hear more of your podcast.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. It was our pleasure.
Join everyone next time.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.